When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Lior Phillips, host of This Must Be The Gig. We're a weekly podcast that documents everything about the world of live music. Speaking with choreographers, costume and set designers, the people who run beloved venues and festivals, and, of course, speaking with musicians about that one gig that changed their lives. Get your peek behind the curtain at consequenceofsound.net, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another edition of Album of the Week, presented by Consequence of Sound Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dedrick Hendricks. Every week, myself and a fellow writer for Consequence of Sound review an album, take a deep dive into the album, talk about some of the good, the bad, the verdict, some of the essential tracks, and more. To keep up with the podcast, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review iTunes, Google Play, everywhere podcasts are available. Be sure to keep up and find us and make us one of your favorite podcasts. Every week, we keep you in the know while you're on the go on the Consequence of Sound Podcast Network. So for this week's Album of the Week, I'm going to be joined by Tyler Clark, senior writer, as we review the new album, Greta Van Fleet's debut album, Anthem of the Peaceful Army. The buzz behind this new rock band has reached an all-time high, and all the anticipation reaches to their debut album, Anthem of the Peaceful Army. Greta Van Fleet is three brothers, Jake, Josh, and Sam Kiska, along with Danny Wagner, who was on the drums. All of them are in their lower 20s, so this is a new rock band expanding on the horizon, and this new album is a dialect that enables us to communicate with no cultural boundaries. In this album, the world is a place of beauty, full of color, full of luster, diversity, and synergy, where we can freely agree to disagree without acrimony. This band has been associated with the legendary Led Zeppelin and Robert Plant. The overall perception of them, and the negative perception, I guess, would be that they sound like a 70s rock band, and they sound like a tribute band or a cover band. Well, their debut album was pretty much in hopes of ending that perception of them, that they are a 70s cover band. And that's what they try to get across here in the Anthem of the Peaceful Army. We've already heard When the Curtain Falls. That was released back in July. That's one of the singles for the album. Watching Over was one of their singles as well. Watching Over was released actually just last month in early September. We've heard Lover Leaver, Taker Believer. That was released late September, so we're approaching almost a month since that was released, Lover Leaver. And then also we've heard Anthem, one of my personal favorite tracks on the album. Anthem was actually released earlier this month, October 5th, one of the singles on the album. And finally, You're the One was actually released on October 16th. So those are the singles for the new album, Anthem of the Peaceful Army by Greta Van Fleet, Album of the Week. And today we are reviewing Greta Van Fleet's debut album, Anthem of the Peaceful Army. Let's go ahead and bring in Tyler Clark, senior writer, who has a review up at consequenceofsound.net. Tyler, we're back at it again. What's going on?
That's right. We're the like a tag team here. I feel like if we were like a wrestling thing, I think our entrance music would have to be Back Home Again in Indiana, right? Like,
yes.
That's the hype anthem, right? Yeah.
Absolutely, man. We don't have our tag belts yet, but we're gonna work towards that and get our tag team champion belts. But we are Hoosiers, again, reviewing albums, two Indiana guys here, and we're reviewing Greta Van Fleet's debut album, Anthem of the Peaceful Army. This time around, I know last week we reviewed Kurt Vile, Bottle It In. This week, we're going to differ on a lot of things. on last week's album of the week, we agreed a lot. But this week,
I think so, yeah,
this week is going to be a little different. So let's go ahead and dig into it. So this is the debut album of pretty much the proclaimed, you know, bringing back the 70s sound rock band of the 2018s. Honestly, to start off, you know, initially when I first heard Greta Van Fleet, I heard Highway Tune, I heard Safari Song, and, you know, they kind of grew on me. At first, I'm just like, who is this? I mean, is this Led Zeppelin tribute band, cover band? You know, I you know, and I felt bad for having that opinion, you know, because
because
it sounds really good. You know, I can't take it away from them. So that was my initial reaction when I first heard them. So I was really anticipating this debut album. So now that we finally got it, let's dig into it. So let's begin with pretty much some of the background. What preceded this debut album from Greta Van Fleet?
Sure. Yeah, so I mean, you know, like you alluded to, you know, they've been sort of touring around the last year, especially on the strength of those two debut EPs, which have been, you know, again, like sort of taking the young person's rock world by storm a little bit. You know, they've had dates sort of all over the place. You know, if you look at their tour schedule recently, you know, they've been in Europe. They did festivals over there. They were all over festivals in the States this summer, you know, all the big ones. I got a chance to see them at Lollapalooza, and,
nice.
You know, their live show is undeniable. Like, it's really, you know, it was one of the only one of the only sets at Lollapalooza where, like, I saw people, like, running to make sure that they, like, got up there and, you know, got a spot for it, so that they wouldn't miss it. And, you know, it didn't disappoint. Like, it was in a year where rock kind of felt like an endangered species a little bit, especially, you know, at Lolla. They were definitely one of the biggest, you know, one of the biggest splashes for their genre. And I think that probably extends to most of the festivals they played at. You know, they've, you know, like we said, most of those festival dates, so they were touring on older material, and so, you know, we knew an album was coming, and in some of the sort of pre-release interviews and stuff that they've done recently, they revealed that, you know, their original plan was to kind of go into the studio and rework some of the other material that they'd been building for the last couple of years that they just hadn't gotten to yet, but that apparently when they did get into the recording process, they kind of felt a little bit of momentum and wound up recording apparently like 75% writing and recording 75% of this record over the course of like 2 weeks in the studio. So it was just this sort of like inspired moment where they were just sort of seized by creativity and just sort of came out of the studio with most of this record, you know, that didn't exist before they went in. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, obviously the kind of story and the kind of like background of this record, you know, obviously I think lends itself to a lot of hype. You know, this does feel like one of the most anticipated records of the year, and also maybe one of the most anticipated rock debuts of, you know, for a long time. I can't immediately, you know, think of a rock record that has come with more anticipation recently than this one.
Yeah, so let's kind of introduce the band a little bit in case someone's been on a different planet in the last year
sure.
or so. Who's all in the band? Who plays what? Let's go ahead and start there as well.
Yeah, so we've got it's three brothers, right? And to begin with, and they're the Kiska brothers. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Boy, that would be.
See, I tried to pass it off on you. I tried to pass it off. I got the first name, so I was like, you know what? Hopefully,
well, yeah,
we don't have a pronunciation guide.
That's right. So we've got they're from Frankenmuth, Michigan, though. These guys grew up sort of, you know, listening to blues and everything like that, and you know, they sort of like have been pretty clear that Led Zeppelin, actually, even though they very much, and we'll get to that later too, they very much sound like Led Zeppelin on a lot of their best tracks, that you know, that was a band that sort of they all came to in like high school. And so it wasn't this like foundational, you know, they didn't like hadn't set out to just sound like Robert Plant from the beginning. But, you know, yeah, they list a lot of the like classic blues and 60s rock kind of stuff as their sort of influences. Mm-hmm. And so they've got the three brothers. There's Josh on vocals.
Danny Wagner on the drums.
Right, right.
I can pronounce that one.
Yeah. Jake is the guitarist, yep. and Sam plays bass. Sam Kiska. So we got these guys, like I say, like, you know, holding it down, mm-hmm. playing a lot of local shows around Michigan for the last few years. Came to prominence with these couple of EPs they put out last year and have kind of, you know, ascended from there. You know, it almost felt like they arrived fully formed in a lot of ways. And this has been certainly their big breakout year with all those festival dates and all those European dates. Mm-hmm. Announcing themselves on the in the rock world here.
First of all, I am jealous that you got to see him already. I'm scheduled to see him December. They're going to be in Chicago for a couple dates, so I'll get to check them out once. And there is something about their live performance and how they sound live that I will mention later on as we dig in to the song. So let's go ahead and get into it. All right, let's start with the good. What were some good things? Because you have a lot of bad. I think your bad is a little bit longer than the good. So let's start with what you liked from Anthem of the Peaceful Army.
Sure. I mean, yeah, for me, I mean, this one felt almost like it was like half and half. It was like a tale of two records. And, you know, again, I think, as part of my good, and you know, I hope they forgive me for continuing to beat on this, but I mean, they really, at their best, I mean, they do have such a connection and such a sound that does evoke those, you know, Led Zeppelin and associated acts from the 70s. And it's just, it is undeniable. Like, just the sort of the raw talent on display here, especially from, you know, vocals on lead guitar is just tremendous. I mean, from the vocal range to the solo work, I mean, it's just a really tremendous showcase of that. And I mean, they do it in a way that is incredibly like evocative, and at its best, like, doesn't quite fall into the world of like pastiche or anything. Like, and they, you know, they really lean into that, a lot of that like 70s sound, and it goes past Zeppelin. Like, on, you listen to like The Cold Wind, you've got a little bit of that like southern rock. You can almost hear some like CCR in there a little bit. Hey! It feels like someone unearthed a record from 1975 and just, like, you know, gave it to you, and if you didn't know that this was recorded in 2018, like, I think you could be forgiven for, you know, for making that mistake. Like, so many of these songs, like, I think I say in the review, like, when I hear Age of Man, like, it feels like I'm hearing a song from, like, the Dazed and Confused soundtrack or, like, Almost Famous or something, you know? Like, it's just, it taps into a style of rock music that I think, I mean, maybe because it's so ubiquitous and maybe because, like, the idea of, like, the classic rock industry out there has, you know, has been such a strong influence even today that, like, you don't find a lot of, like, really young, really dynamic bands fully embracing that sound and fully, you know, leaning into it and being sort of, like, and certainly you don't find a lot of bands who are doing that blowing up in the way that Greta Van Fleet has. And so I think that they've obviously tapped into something. They've tapped into a need or a desire in their generation. For, I think, in the Chicago Tribune's recap of Lollapalooza, there's a quote in there from some attendee at Lollapalooza who was, I think, you know, described as like a, you know, pretty young person, saying that, like, they wanted to make sure to catch Greta Van Fleet's set because they were playing, like, real music, and they wanted to see, like, a band that, like, actually played their instruments and actually played you know, rock music in the way that, like, it has been mythologized. And, mm-hmm. and I think they're definitely proficient at that and you know, and good at it. And they have the talent to back it up. I think all of that, all of those qualities come together best on the song Lover, Leaver, Taker, Believer. That one is sort of the sweet spot for me on the record, where, you know, you kind of get that, like, you know, it's got that, like, charging beat, but it's also kind of, like, jammy, and the lyrics are, like, it's like a love song, but it also incorporates a bunch of, like, imagery that would feel at home in, like, a first edition Dungeons & Dragons campaign. You know, it just has that, like, it just has that vibe, and it feels sort of natural and sort of effortless on that one in a way that I think is really appealing.
To kind of simplify mine, I'm glad rock bands are back. That's my pretty much summary, my synopsis of this entire album is that rock bands are back. When you think of today's best rock bands compared to the Led Zeppelins, compared to, you mentioned CCR, compared to Jimi Hendrix Experience, compared to those rock bands, obviously it's not the same. I mean, it's like night and day. So that was one thing that kind of refreshed me, was just that rock bands are back. You know, regardless if they have that similar sound, you know, someone like me, I'm a music nerd, dude. So, like, mm-hmm. I listen to anything and everything, especially classic rock. For me, it's refreshing to hear someone in today's world of music, and very young guys, too. I mean, younger than me.
Yeah, early 20s. Yeah.
So for me, that was refreshing. So that was my good. And you mentioned Lover, Leaver, Taker, Believer, one of my favorites on the album as well. The guitar in that pretty much sets the entire tone. Personally, I wasn't huge on the lyrics in that one, but Jake absolutely killed the guitar in that. That just instantly made it one of my essentials. So another thing I liked as well was all of these tracks. And I did mention that I haven't seen them live yet. A lot of these tracks make me really, really, really want to see them live. You mentioned The Cold Wind, which was one of my personal favorites early on. And you kind of mentioned this in the bad in your review up at consequencesound.net. Mm-hmm. I felt like it's kind of top heavy.
Yeah,
I feel like the beginning, the first half of the album is absolutely incredible. Outside of the last track, Anthem, which I like that you don't, and we'll get into that here in a minute, but I feel like it's kind of top heavy. What did you think of kind of the outline of the album?
Yeah, I mean, I think the, you know, sequencing sticks out here as a bit of an issue. I agree with you on that one. I mean, yeah, for me, like the first half of the record, the A side is sort of where it's at, and then, you know, I really thought it sort of lost steam by the end. The stuff on the back half just kind of it petered. It was one of those things where, like, after the first few songs, I kept waiting for the record to, like, really explode and really, like, you know, sort of keep building that momentum into something that was, like, a really big payoff, like a really big, you know, either, like, some sort of, like, epic jam or, like, something with the rhythm section, like, really taking the floor on a song. And it just, you know, the energy level kind of flagged a little bit, and it just never really developed into that, like, proper second half climax that I was looking for. I think that was, in terms of sequencing, that was sort of what I noticed and what I was feeling when I was listening to the record.
Yeah, and another thing that I thought, you know, could have been altered a little bit, or not really altered, but just added, was I felt like the album was short as well. I guess that could be a good and bad thing. I was left a little underwhelmed, like, oh, I want more.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I felt like it was a little short.
Yeah, and I mean, I think for me that's more forgivable, especially, like, you know, in my estimation, like, it was about half and half in terms of, like, the good and the bad. And so, like, I'd like to see that percentage go up a little bit, that ratio change a little bit before I, like, demand more. I was okay with it. I was ready for it to be. I thought it ended where it needed to end, I guess. Yeah.
So there were two tracks. This is, I guess, not the really moment I've been waiting for the most, but kind of, because you got two tracks mm-hmm. on in your paragraph on The Bad that I loved. Mm-hmm. I love You're the One and I love Anthem. What was your beef with those, man?
I guess those are the ones that felt the most sort of like museum PC or like like out of step with like what out of step with maybe the last like 40 years or whatever of the evolution of rock and roll. Like they just, I thought the lyrics were particularly tired on those two. Those were my lyrical clangers on this one. You know, I thought that they kind of, on the one hand, I thought You're the One sort of fell back, and this came up a couple times on the record. They fell back on some of the like evil woman tropes and all that, which I just I don't know. Like it doesn't feel like in step really with like where we've come in music and where we've come sort of culturally, I guess. And Anthem really bugged me too, because I feel like, you know, a lot of what made rock so vital and important, like when it was on the ascent and when, you know, during the period where Greta Van Fleet is sort of drawing inspiration from, was that it was, you know, it was transgressive. Like it was, it was music that sort of challenged, you know, challenged norms and challenged our comfort levels and, you know, had the ability to kind of, you know, make us sort of uncomfortable too.
So many people thinking different ways, you say.
To end the record on a song like that, where it's like, especially now we're in a time that feels so like not only politically polarized, but just like where politics is so like vital and has taken this much sort of greater prominence in sort of the everyday lives of a lot of people. I felt like that song was kind of arguing against all of that, and like, you know, they're saying like agree to disagree and like, you know, finding that like sort of mushy common ground stuff, and it just didn't resonate with me. It just felt like that was a song and a sentiment from a different time period, and like right now it just didn't feel like something that we need, I guess, or that like or that would really speak to a, you know, a big sort of segment of the population. I mean, that could be, like I say, like that, I could be off base on that, but that is how those songs landed for me. And those were also the ones that sort of drew me the most, like out of the fiction, out of the like, oh man, these guys are like, you know, it's like a, you know, these guys could be Led Zeppelin. And it was those where I was like, oh man, no, that's, you know, that was where the glass sort of broke a little bit a couple times.
So you know what? All right. This is what I'll follow it up with. All right. If I were to ask you one song from this record that pretty much sets the tone and tells you what the album is about and their goal in mind, I mean, what they wanted to get across in their message throughout the album, what one song would that be?
Oh, I mean, I think it would probably be Anthem. Okay. I think Anthem is probably the thesis statement of this record. It's just not one that I agree with.
Yeah, see, that's what I guess, I mean, on top of liking the song, because I really did like it, truthfully, and I just felt, I always listen to albums and try to think of one song that introduces me to the album, tells me what it's about, what they want to get across, and that also is what made me like it. That's why I asked that. I just felt like if that was the point they wanted to get across, you know, music, you know, this is a call to arms, they said. Let us sing the anthem of the peaceful army. You know, it introduces you to what they wanted to get across. But you also, you had some more things in the bad that you didn't like from the album as well.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I think a lot of it is, I mean, you know, we've heaped a lot of praise on them for, you know, for sort of being able to evoke the sort of 70s sound a lot and the sort of 70s vibe. But there just came a point on the second half where I was just like, is this it? Like, are they gonna make this sound their own in any way? Because they've got the talent to do it. Like, that is not debatable, I don't think. You know, like, you can't listen to that guitar, those vocals, without realizing, like, oh man, these kids are like, you know, they've got it. Like, they're totally more than capable from a performance standpoint of, you know, filling an arena and writing a hit song. But yeah, it just kind of felt like they were content a little bit to just be kind of like writing this sound out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also like that made me wonder too. And that was what sort of made me take a harder look at, you know, at some of the material, at some of the lyrics and all that, because it was like, you know, I was sort of thinking to myself, like, well, oh man, like, if these songs weren't being performed by these, you know, incredibly talented people, and if the singer didn't sound like he was being inhabited by the, like, ghost of Robert Plant, even though Robert Plant's not even dead yet,
right?
You know, would these songs hold up? Would these songs still be appealing and still be, you know, ones that I would want to come back to and ones that I would want to listen to if they were, you know, if it was a sort of more, you know, not normal, I guess, but like a different voice singing them or a different, you know, slightly different guitar player. And I, for a lot of them, it was just, no, I didn't think so. I was like, I feel like the talent is there, but maybe the songwriting is still, you know, it's still sort of too married a little bit to the past for me. And I would love to see, you know, I am excited to see like how they evolve after this and going forward. I mean, I certainly don't think, you know, this is not a death sentence by any means, but it's, you know, it was like, okay, like you've proven what you can do from a performance standpoint. It's like, let's see what you can really do from, you know, from a songwriting and from a, you know, the evolution of your craft.
Well said. Well said. And maybe I'm guilty of falling too in love with the Robert Plant sound. Quite possibly I could be guilty of that. I mean,
it's a great sound. That's the thing. Like, yeah, it's for sure. Like, the appeal, I get the appeal, and I get, like I said, like, I was grinning like an idiot when I saw them at Small Blues. I thought they were fantastic live band. And but I feel like that is the kind of thing where sometimes, you know, that you sort of overlook everything else when you're just so wowed by this like, you know, this talent in front of you. I mean, and that was something that, you know, that I experienced as well. And I'm sure you're probably going to have that same experience in December.
I just feel like I've been blind, maybe brainwashed a bit into and this would be my follow up question to that. So what were some key moments, some memorable moments throughout this project for you? What were some moments in this album? It could be, you know, a drum solo, a guitar solo, vocals. What were some memorable moments from the album for you?
Well, I think Age of Man, the opener, I thought that was a really interesting choice for the opener. You know, it kind of has that very, like, very proggy sound to it. And in my notes, I think I even said, like, it almost feels like, it feels more like a closer almost than an opener. But, you know, when you reconsider it as sort of the, you know, the opening statement of the record, it I think I was, based on that intro, like, that felt like, that may have been when I sort of got that feeling that we were building towards some, you know, some crazy epic climax, because like that song sort of like set that very dramatic, very, you know, very almost theatrical tone. And I really liked that. I mean, you know, last week we talked about, you know, Kurt Vile sounding like a Road Trip record. I mean, this song is like, you know, this feels like a 70s driving montage if I've ever seen one or heard one. So, I mean, I loved that one. I loved the, you know, a lot of the, some pretty excellent solo work, on, some of those other A-side tracks, When the Curtain Falls, as a really great one, and Watching Over also, which is, I think, one we haven't really talked about yet. But yeah, there's some pretty excellent guitar work on those as well. And then yeah, just all of I really liked the sort of quasi fantasy lyrics of, I mean, they come up in a couple places, but I think on Lover, Leaver, Take or Believer, those really hit in a sort of a weird cool way.
Yeah, that was definitely one of mine. The guitar on Lover, Leaver, Take or Believer, that was definitely one of mine. although it feels like it's been out forever, but When the Curtain Falls obviously had moments in there. Didn't it come out in like July or June or something? It just feels like,
so, because that was the one they played on Silent that got such a big, they got like right. a standing ovation.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, yep, it was released in July. I just had to look it up. Yeah, so that one's been out for a while. Obviously, we heard Anthem that was released prior to this album release as well. So those were a few. Overall, the verdict, I love your first line, man. All right, in quotes, classic rock is classic for a reason. All right, so what did you mean by that in your verdict?
Well, I just mean that, you know, it's one of those things where, and again, we touched on it a little bit, that like, mm-hmm. Because of sort of the strength in sort of numbers and, I hate to say maybe narcissism, of the generation for which the, you know, these songs were, you know, of their youth with the baby boomers and all that, like classic rock has sort of been a dominant thing for, you know, certainly all of my lifetime and then definitely all of the lifetime of, you know, the guys in Greta Van Fleet. And, you know, so it has that sort of cultural ubiquity and that sort of like blueprint style of like, this is what rock and roll is. You know, mm-hmm. and I think that using that as a starting point is certainly fine. But there's been, like I said, like there's been 40 years of of evolution to catch up with and to sort of like examine as well. And so it sort of, at many points on this record, it sort of felt like the sort of like influence line gets like cut off around 1976, basically like anything before punk basically. and then you just, you know, it's sort of that is where we're drawing from, and that's fine, and that is a, you know, certainly like as we've said today, like it's definitely a fun thing to listen to, and it's also like you can see why it was popular, you know, in its heyday as well. But like you said as well in the very beginning here, like you have to move past that or you risk sounding like a tribute band, you know, you risk, you know, just doing a very, very, you know, adept impersonation mm-hmm. of that sound rather than using that sound as an influence and then adding your own creativity and craft to it to make it something your own. And I mean, obviously like there's nothing new under the sun. You can't reinvent rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
In 2018, but you can certainly, you know, you can put some of your own spin on it a little bit. And I just didn't get a ton of that spin on this record.
Yeah. And I mentioned earlier how I'm a music nerd and maybe I've been blind to the fact that they do sound exactly like, you know, some of the classic rock bands. I did also come to the conclusion. See, I was a little bit more harsh prior to hearing this album, like, probably way too harsh about them. I even went as far as to say they were a glorified Led Zeppelin tribute band. So yeah, I mean,
that's a thing that, like, you know, you've in prepping for this piece, like, I mean, that has certainly been a, you know, a big criticism of theirs, and it's one that they've taken, you know, they've taken great issue with. But then, like, you can only get so upset about something like that,
right?
And then when you deliver a record that sounds like this one does, like, that's not really proving your point, you know? Like, it's proving everybody else's point. Because, you know, if you're getting upset about being compared to Led Zeppelin and then you write a record that sounds like a Led Zeppelin record, well, it's, you know, you have to wonder at some point, like,
mm-hmm.
who are the, you know, who's making the mistake here? Is it all the listeners or is it, you know, these four guys? I mean, not mistake, but, like,
right.
you know, who's incorrect, I guess, right. about this?
I've always wanted to, because there's no time travel, all right? There's no device that allows us to go back to the 70s. There's no device to allow us. This isn't Austin Powers, okay? We can't go back to right. the 60s. And
not yet.
Not yet, anyway. So part of me now, even, excited and happy to have a rock band. And today, where I can actually go out and see them. You know, as you mentioned, they've been touring. They are touring. And unfortunately, I can't. I mean, I can see Robert Plant if I want, and he's still touring right. and doing it. But so part of me is just excited that, you know what, it's 2018. We have a rock band, you know, to go
yeah.
see. So that's just maybe my music nerdness, I guess.
Oh, well, and I think that like their value as a band, you know, in terms of like rock music, I think it goes beyond this record. Like, I don't think that, you know, regardless of how, you know, this record is received by critics, I think it's going to be a fan favorite. Mm-hmm. And I also think that what it represents in terms of the potential, like, resurgence and the potential, like, health of, you know, big time rock and roll in, you know, in 2018 and beyond. I mean, I think that at the very least, it demonstrates that there is still a big audience for this sound.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, Greta Van Fleet may not be the band to fully capitalize on that or to fully, like, tap into it to its sort of fullest extent, mm-hmm. but they've definitely succeeded in showing not just fans, but also, like, labels, you know, sort of everybody that, you know, that this is not, that rock and roll is not, you know, the obituaries have been sort of premature mm-hmm. for rock music, you know, that there is a sort of hunger and potentially a, you know, commercially viable and potentially, you know, culturally viable hunger for this kind of music. So I think that, yeah, I think that they are going to continue to be a force in that conversation. And again, definitely, like, you know, like, you could, you could certainly, you know, do worse than booking them at a festival. Because they're going to deliver.
Oh yeah.
You know, sort of every, I mean, again, if my limited, you know, my limited evidence, my limited personal evidence is any indication, like, you know, they're going to deliver for you sort of every time. And they're going to keep, you know, bringing converts in with every, you know, show they play. Mm-hmm. So I think that they're a really important part of the future for rock. And we'll see if they match that importance on an album one of these days. I don't know if they quite got there this time, but, you know, it's not a terrible first effort.
On top of that as well, I mean, they're likable guys. You know, you heard the interview with Spencer Kaufman from Heavy Consequence, the nice interview as well. They're just likable guys. They seem like, you know, I mean, I won't say normal guys because obviously people can have their own opinion on what's normal and what's not. But, I mean, they just seem like likable guys. In today's music, there's, let's just be honest here, there's very few likable bands in the music industry.
Not always the case, yeah.
So that's one thing also that I wanted to point out. So let's go ahead and get to the final, the wrap up, your grade and essential tracks from Anthem of the Peaceful Army.
Yeah, so I gave this one a C+.
Ouch.
You know, I think that, yeah, I don't know. It's just, that was my gut feeling. And then I, you know, I sort of listened to it once and then I had that sort of in mind and then, you know, listened to it a few more times and looked for a reason to bump it up. And I just couldn't find one on this one. But, you know, like I said, there's still a lot to like, and there's still a lot of, songs that I think are going to be, certainly big hits for these guys. My essential tracks are, once again, Lover, Leaver, Taker, Believer. I think that's if I had a prediction about what was going to be the enduring sort of hit from this one, I think it's that. Opener, Age of Man, I think it did a really effective job at setting the tone. And then When the Curtain Falls, that was another fun one that I thought really captured a lot of their, like, it was kind of like a jammy little tune, you know? Like, I thought that was an interesting avenue that they explored a little bit on this record of just, like, really cutting loose and leaning into their sort of natural, you know, performance talents. I thought that one showcased that a lot, and it also did a really good job of, you know, especially with, like, showing off the guitar solo
set.
You can see why crowds go wild for that one, including Jimmy Fallon's.
yeah, Jake is the man. I don't know if you felt this way as well. Before I get to my quick essential tracks, I don't know if you felt this way, but when I first heard When the Curtain Falls, when it first came out back in early this summer, really wasn't the biggest fan of it. But for some reason, when I heard it throughout this album, you know, in order, after The Cold Wind and then preceding Watching Over, which I wasn't a big fan of, but I did like it, you know, coming after The Cold Wind. So maybe coming after that and Age of Man that you mentioned, coming after those two, it made me appreciate it a little bit more.
Yeah, that was a case where I think the sequencing was pretty on point. Mm-hmm. Again, sort of coming on that much stronger first half of the record. Yeah, I thought that those three as the opening sort of 1, 2, 3 did work really well together.
Yeah, so my couple essential tracks, Age of Man, obviously, that's probably my favorite one on the entire project. Just starts off with the bang, man. This is exactly what I wanted to hear. This is 2018 Rock Band Here to Stay. I had that one. I had I'm gonna switch it up though, because we both had some of the same. So I'm gonna throw in Anthem. I thought it was pretty good. I like it.
Yeah.
Although it's a good summary of the album, and it tells you exactly what they want you to hear from them. Their message tells you what the album's about. So I had to have Anthem on there, and I like The Cold Wind. I know we haven't touched on that a whole lot, but yeah, track 2, The Cold Wind, I really like that one as well. I mean, pretty much, I mean, you could really take 1 through 6, honestly, outside of Watching Over, and I'm fine with any of them as your essential tracks. But yeah, I like The Cold Wind as well. And that's really important when it comes to album sequencing. Is, I don't want to say everything, but if we come up with a top 3 list of the most important things, you know, when releasing an album, sequencing has to be
it's
in the top
there,
3.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to say also that, just really quickly, before I forget, and this is something that I would like to, you know, I know I've kind of bagged on the second half of the record, but one area that I would not be disappointed if they explored a little more was some of the sort of lower tempo, sort of like ballady type songs. I thought that those, and this includes Anthem, I did like the sort of like arrangement wise and performance wise. I thought that those were really good. I also really liked, you brought up, You're the One.
It's my jam.
I really liked, the vocal delivery on that one, you know, it felt sort of, that was where I felt like you got to hear, you know, it felt like the ghost of Robert Plant, like, left his body for for a minute, and you got to hear Josh's voice, you know, sort of feeling more natural and less, you know, less sort of theatrical. And I thought that, you know, he still sounded so good that I kind of hope that they take the time to explore that in the future as well, because I think that would be a really fruitful, you know, path to walk down.
Very intrigued to see where they go from here. This is only the debut album. Tons more to come. They're in their early 20s. I'm sure there'll be plenty more to come out for this young rock band.
They got the energy for it.
Absolutely. So not only what's coming up for them, I'm intrigued to know what's coming up for you. What you got coming up as well?
Oh, man. Well, I'm currently right now, I've got, I'm working on a review for the old Tenacious D.
Ooh.
Still sitting with that record for a little bit. And then,
Jack Black.
Also, like I think I mentioned, yeah, man, I feel like that was the soundtrack of my, like, late high school to early college days. We're pretty Tenacious D heavy, so I'm excited to see if that translates to 34 as well. So, and then I think I mentioned last week too, we're working on a big recap of the summer festival season.
Yeah.
Here will be coming up in the next little bit, you know, and I'm sure Greta Van Fleet will be a part of that, because they were a huge part of this summer festival season. And other than that, it's just, I'm just keeping my fingers crossed and watching some Notre Dame football coming up, hopefully some more wins. keep that perfect record going. So
yeah, I'm
that
loving
is my
it.
Plan for the next little bit.
I love it, man. We're going for it. About all they got left. They got the Syracuse game. That's going to be tough. That's all. That's a neutral game.
Syracuse is very tough.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's the one that I'm the most scared of.
You always got to worry about the neutral games. All right. Tyler Clark, senior writer, consequencesound.net, joining us. Tyler, thanks for joining me, man. Look forward to what you got coming up, man. Great stuff.
Thanks, man. Always a pleasure.
Special thanks to my man, Tyler Clark, senior writer from consequencesound.net, for joining me to review the debut album by Greta Van Fleet, Anthem of the Peaceful Army. Obviously, tons of things coming up for Consequence of Sound. You can keep up with all of it by going to the website at consequencesound.net. There are other podcasts for you to check out as well. When you go to the website, click the podcast tab. They're all there for you. There are summaries there for you to check out which podcasts are good for you. Make us one of your favorites by subscribing, rating, and reviewing on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and anywhere podcasts are available. That'll do it for this week's edition of Album of the Week, and we'll be back next week right here on the Consequence of Sound Podcast Network. I've been your host, Dedrick Hendrix.
Consequence Podcast Network.